We are less than 24 hours away from Saturday night's main event. I am very much looking forward to tomorrow night. I wish, though, that the show we got tonight could have gotten me more excited for it. What we got tonight was not good. But this was the go-home show. One last push before Saturday night's main event, and we had the final word, is what they were calling it. In the ring, it was supposed to be in the ring, between Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens, who are wrestling for the WWE Championship in less than 24 hours. It ended with a pull-apart brawl in the ring, which honestly did not have the kind of intensity that I think is warranted in this situation. It would not rank very high in the history of segments when we've seen tons of show-closing brawls like this. This one was not particularly great, but it got the job done. And you had Kevin Owens standing tall, Cody Rhodes down on his back, looking up at the lights, hit in the head with the WWE Championship. Not the same WWE Championship that he hopefully will be walking out to the ring with tomorrow night. But they've done all they can do now to get you excited for tomorrow's match. Do they have the balls? Do they have the balls to take the championship off the Golden Boy and put it on Kevin Owens? That is the question. Everybody's got their own theories and their own thoughts about what may or may not go down tomorrow night. One of the things that we are going to do a little bit later, I will go through my final predictions for Saturday night's main event, so we'll talk more about that. We got a big announcement tonight, though, and it actually has nothing to do with Saturday night's main event. We don't have another PLE until the Royal Rumble, and the Royal Rumble is not until February 1st. So Saturday night's main event is effectively the PLE for December. For January, there's another Saturday night's main event. That's actually a week before the Rumble, but the big show in January, it's not on pay-per-view, it's not on Peacock, it's on Netflix. It's the Raw debut on January 6th, and they're doing everything in their power to get that show pumped up to where you look at this thing as one of the biggest events of the year. It's all hands on deck. Stars from Raw, stars from SmackDown, stars that maybe we don't see on TV right now who might make their return and might make a special appearance on that show. John Cena, for example, is being advertised for that show. And you know it's a special show when Roman Reigns is climbing into the ring for it. Now, when was the last time we saw Roman Reigns in a match on a Monday night, right? Probably not until sometime before WrestleMania this year. And that may have been the only time this year. Doesn't happen very often, but it's going to happen on January 6th because we got the announcement that it will be Roman Reigns one-on-one with Solo Sikoa, Tribal Chief versus Tribal Chief, and it will be Tribal Combat. The only thing I can say is I sure hope it's better than the last time we got Tribal Combat, because it wasn't very good. That SummerSlam match last year was not very good at all, with Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa, or Roman Reigns and Jey Uso. I was thinking Cody and Solo Sikoa had a match this year at SummerSlam, but that technically was Bloodline Rules, right? They called it Bloodline Rules. How does Bloodline Rules differ from Tribal Combat? Like the main event of WrestleMania 40 this year, Night 2, with Roman and Cody, which was an excellent match, was Bloodline Rules. I don't know that there's much of a difference, though, between that and Tribal Combat, but I think Tribal Combat, I think of Jey Uso and Roman Reigns in that terrible match they had last year. Roman and Solo are going to have one of their own next month. Question is this where they pay off this part of the story, or is this only the next step and Roman is going to have to continue to fight and scratch and claw his way to get the Ulafala back? Do they have something else planned for that show? We may have gotten a hint about what might happen in that match through something that happened on the show tonight, but that match is now official. What else is official is the finals for the Women's United States Championship Tournament. They've been playing this tournament out now for several weeks. We now know what the finals are going to be on Saturday night's main event tomorrow night. And it is going to be a match that I would wager most people, when this tournament started and they looked at the bracket, they didn't have this as the finals of the tournament. But it actually makes sense because there's a history between these two, and it will benefit them more than it would a Bayley, you know, or even a Naomi, or even a Tiffany Stratton, who has the Money in the Bank briefcase. But none of those people are going to be in the finals. And we'll talk about what the match is actually going to be. Actually, the biggest surprise, may as well tell you, it's going to be Chelsea Green and Meechan. But the biggest surprise of that is not even so much that Chelsea and Meechan are going to the finals, because I talked about last week, I said it's either going to be Bayley and Tiffany or it's going to be Chelsea and Meechan. It's going to be one or the other. Once Naomi got bounced, those are really the only two logical options here. But what surprised me the most, Bayley lost, Tiffany lost clean. Both women lost clean tonight. Now, Piper Niven did get involved, you know, a few times in Chelsea's match, but I'm talking like in terms of the finish itself, as clean as you could possibly ask for. That was the most surprising part about those two matches tonight. But also on this show, one thing that they were promoting since last week was a mystery opponent for Carmelo Hayes. Nick Aldis said he had somebody in mind. And all this hype around the fact that it was going to be a new superstar on the SmackDown roster. What do they mean by new? Is it a new person coming into the company? Is it a new person on SmackDown, which means it could just be somebody from Raw? Are we talking about somebody from NXT? A lot of speculation about who this person could be. And of course, you know, people, they let their imaginations get the better of them. You hear Penta's name mentioned in the news a lot. A lot of names being thrown around. NXT names. And if that's what you were banking on, then you were left very disappointed tonight. I didn't mind it so much. The actual person it turned out to be. But I could see where a lot of people would look at that and go, really? That's it? That's what we waited all week for? I'll tell you what, the person that it ended up being didn't bother me so much. What bothered me is how they squashed Carmelo Hayes. Your first round draft pick. He's been crowing about it for months, ever since the middle of the year. First round draft pick on SmackDown. Squashed like a bug in the middle of the ring. And the only way that makes any sense at all is if he's leaving SmackDown and going to Monday Night Raw. Which could very well happen because we are in the middle of this transfer period. So they can move people from one brand to the other, call up NXT stars. We had more teases of that, but nothing actually officially announced other than the person who showed up as Carmelo's opponent tonight. This show was not good. This was really not a good show. But we got plenty of promotion for Saturday night's main event. Oh my God. I tell you what, I'm ready for the show. I am done hearing about it. I just want it to take place already. I'm excited for it. I'm genuinely looking forward to the show tomorrow night. But my God, if I have to hear Michael Cole and Corey Graves talk about Saturday night's main event one more time, I'm going to fucking explode. It's the one thing you cannot say about this show. This was a go-home show. They promoted the hell out of that show tomorrow night. I don't know that anybody watching SmackDown doesn't know that Saturday night's main event is taking place tomorrow night. But this was most definitely a step down from some of their recent shows. We'll talk about it, though. This is your Friday night SmackDown review for Friday the 13th. Say hello to our little friend. Jason is joining us tonight. One of my favorite days. Every time I look at the calendar, I go, oh, it's Friday the 13th. It's my favorite day. December 13th, 2024. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. I will be reading your messages as they come in, if they come in. I appreciate the support if you choose to do so. And I did mention later on, at the end of the review, I'll go through the card, the entire card, all five matches scheduled for tomorrow night. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about predictions. Because we got less than 24 hours to go. The show is, by the way, because I know there was some debate. I mean, it wasn't really specified, but it is a two-hour show. Because looking at the NBC schedule, when I looked at it a few days ago, there was a huge gap between Saturday night's main event and Saturday Night Live. And I said, well, wait a minute. I know the news usually comes on NBC at 11. So is this a two-hour show or is this a three-hour show? Because a few days ago in the NBC schedule, they didn't have anything listed in between. But according to PW Insider, it is a two-hour show. So 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. I think it's airing live on the West Coast. So that would be a 5 o'clock start. SmackDown opened, though, with Big Jim. Jimmy Uso on one crutch, hobbling down to the ring with his broken toe from the dive that he did off the top of the cage in War Games. And he said that War Games didn't get Big Jim, but it did get his big toe. And he said that he was proud of watching his family dominate the WWE, including Roman Reigns being a champion for so long, and Jey Uso becoming one of the hottest stars today. He was proud of his little brother Solo, even though he's not happy with what he's been doing. So what's next for Big Jim, right? It's like, okay, let's get on with it here. Nobody was really reacting to this, but finally he says, you know, what's next for Big Jim? And he says, I don't know. I'm like, well, gee, thanks for coming out. You know, I thought you had something to tell us here. You have the microphone, you're in the middle of the ring, you're on one fucking foot. Big Jim comes out to the ring to tell us, I don't know. I don't even know why I'm here. He said, I don't know, but maybe I'll go win the Royal Rumble. That's a good one. That's a good one. Yes, Jimmy Uso will not be winning the Royal Rumble. I mean, it's nice to have goals. So maybe he'll win the Royal Rumble, he said. Maybe he'll win the U.S. title. Maybe he'll win the Undisputed Championship. That's not happening either. But as he turned around, because that's really all he had to say, he turned around and he walked right into a Claymore kick from a waiting Drew McIntyre, who we didn't even know was standing there. Kicked him right in the face. And he started raining down blows upon him until officials ran down to the ring to get him to back off. And McIntyre laughed, all while Nick Aldis scolded him all the way to the back. I don't know if this was something that you guys noticed, but I noticed it. The crowd noise here, very weird during this segment. And they taped two episodes of SmackDown tonight. So next week's episode is a tape show. Obviously, they're not going to tape anything in front of the live crowd that might spoil any of the results tomorrow night. But they did tape a show for next week. So technically, this show did not air live because they started the taping earlier. So it was technically taped. And you could tell because this crowd, I don't know what it is when they tape the shows. Like, it shouldn't make a difference, not for the first one anyway. But just, you watch it and the crowd, it was very quiet, but it was just very awkward. I don't even know how to describe it really, but it was the crowd audio. And you could tell, okay, this is on tape delay, but something's weird here. And not much of a promo from Jimmy, but I'll tell you one thing I am happy about. I'm happy to have Drew McIntyre back. He wasn't gone for very long, but he was gone for 2 months. You know, 2 months. Look, McIntyre was one of those guys all year. There's two people I think of. When I look back at this year, and the year now is almost over, and I got a whole bunch of special shows over the next few weeks. We got to do, you know, predictions for next year. We're going to do the year in review. We're going to do top matches of the year. We'll do that on New Year's Eve. But, you know, as I look back on this year and I look at Raw in particular, there's two names that stand out to me as the MVPs of that show at different points in the year. And for a good chunk of 2024, the MVP was Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre and his story, his feud with CM Punk, who wasn't there every week because he was hurt, but McIntyre was there week after week. And the work that McIntyre put in, not just in the ring, but on promos and his character, was top shelf. I mean, this was really, it's kind of weird for me to call it a breakout year for him because he's not a rookie. He's not new. But it was in many ways. It felt like a breakout year for Drew McIntyre. And really, it started towards the end of last year, but he's had an incredible year. The other would be Bronson Reed. When Rollins had to go back on the injury list, he really picked up the slack and Triple H said, okay, it's time to sink or swim, big boy. And he took full advantage of the opportunity that he was given. He became a must-see attraction on Monday nights. And unfortunately now, he had surgery the other day on his broken foot. He's going to be gone for a while. He's definitely not wrestling at WrestleMania, but he's out of the picture now. McIntyre just came back, and it's good to have him back. Those two guys, you take them out of the picture, and Raw is just not the same show this year. It's just not. That's how important and critical at different points this year those two men have been to that show. But very interesting, you know, pay attention to what McIntyre has been doing here since he came back a few weeks ago. His first night in, somebody attacks Jey Uso from behind, right? Hits him in the back of the head and lays him out in the back. Later that same night, Sami Zayn gets taken out. Tonight, Jimmy Uso gets taken out with a Claymore kick. McIntyre is systematically going after all of the men who tagged with CM Punk in the War Games match. Now, the only two people left are Punk himself, and we don't need to see McIntyre and Punk again, and Roman Reigns. And that feeds into what I was saying before about this match that he's going to be having now on January 6th, if you're thinking, well, you know, Roman will just win back the Ulafala, and this will be the end of Solo, and then Solo will be booted out of the bloodline. It's possible. But wouldn't it make sense, based on what they're doing here, if Drew McIntyre costs Roman Reigns the Ulafala and a win over Solo Sikoa on January 6th, and they build to something with Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre? It just seems to be the path that we're on here. You know, these guys here, Jimmy and Jay and Sammy, this is low-hanging fruit. Roman is the top dog here. Roman is the guy that beat him at Clash at the Castle a couple of years ago. Roman is the reason for all of this. Roman is the reason why Drew McIntyre is a heel right now. He still hasn't gotten over that loss. Why wouldn't he target Roman Reigns? Why wouldn't he cost Roman something near and dear to him the way that Solo and Roman costs Drew something very near and dear to him in Cardiff a few years ago? So we could very well be looking at McIntyre getting involved in that match on January 6th. That was the first thought I had when I saw that he went after Jimmy here. He's going down the list, and there's one very big name on that list who has a very big match coming up in a few weeks. So I'm just saying. Backstage, Nia Jax and Candice LeRae wish Tiffany Stratton good luck in her semifinal match in the U.S. title tournament. They came off very disingenuous here. Nia really, she was more interested in telling Tiffany, look, you know, you could become the first ever United States champion, and that way you don't have to worry about cashing in your briefcase. As if, you know, if she goes on to win the U.S. title, she'll just surrender the briefcase. I guess she'll just, or maybe she'll, like, leave it at home in the closet and just forget about it or something, and then time will expire. What the fuck does she think she's going to do? She's just going to go, oh, I guess I don't need this anymore. I have a mid-card belt now. But I was distracted here, because when they first came to this segment, and before Nia and Candice rolled up, Tiffany, she was doing some kind of exercise. She was getting herself ready for her upcoming match, and she was busting. I mean, my God, this woman, she was busting out of her top. It was so gratuitous. But she was also dressed up like the world's bustiest elf. She had a very festive costume, very festive gear on. But it's like they cut to the back and she's just there she is. You know, it's like, okay, you've got our attention. Like, it was so blatant. Oh, Ludwig Kaiser, my man. That's right. Friday the 13th Brie mode has been activated by Alex. I love it. Nick Aldis was shown. He was following Drew McIntyre through the back, still chewing him out over what he just did. Bianca Belair and Naomi walked up to him, and Aldis told Drew, go wait in my office. And behind Aldis' back, McIntyre just went like that. He saluted him, and then he walked into his office, and we didn't see him again. So presumably they had a meeting after that. What they discussed, we don't know. I tell you what I hope they discuss is McIntyre moving over to SmackDown. That's the move I was thinking and hoping they would do after Bad Blood. And then he just showed up on Monday Night Raw. Now, to be fair, he was called back early because Bronson Reed got hurt. So if you missed that, Mike Johnson's been talking about this on PW Insider. The fact that originally Seth Rollins was going to wrestle Bronson Reed tomorrow night on Saturday night's main event. They were going to blow off their feud on that show. And then he got hurt. And the match had to be scrapped, which is what made way for Sami Zayn to wrestle Drew McIntyre. McIntyre was not supposed to be back yet. He was probably was going to be back in time for that first Netflix Raw, if not on that show. But he was probably a good month away still. And he got called back early. So I do wonder if maybe the plan was to have him on SmackDown, but they needed him on Raw. And then all of a sudden we have this transfer window, which makes it very easy for them to move him from Raw to SmackDown if need be. But I think getting him away from CM Punk and putting them on separate brands was the move to make, and there's still time for them to make that move. Aldis turned to Bianca and Naomi and said, look, because they were asking about the investigation into who attacked Jade Cargill. And he said, well, you know, the investigation is still ongoing. But the reason I wanted to talk to you is because the investigation is still ongoing and, you know, Drew or Jade rather is obviously not going to be back anytime soon. I really am left with no choice but to force you to relinquish the women's tag team titles. Oh no. Wouldn't it be a shame if the women's tag team titles were relinquished and if they were misplaced? We couldn't find them and they couldn't be defended anymore. What a shame that would be. So Naomi stepped in and said, Bianca, she's never relinquished anything in her entire life. And if she needs a partner, I would be more than happy to step in. And Bianca loved that idea. And she says, look, it's been done before. And she asked Aldis if that's an option. And he said, well, I'd have to run it up the flagpole. But if you guys really want to do it, I'm going to have you defend the titles as soon as next week. Now, you can't watch this segment and not immediately think if there was any doubt left about who the number one prime suspect is, who attacked Jade Cargill. Naomi was already number one on the list, at least as of last week when she got bounced out of the tournament. But now forget about it. Unless they're just completely going to swerve us into oblivion, Naomi is clearly the prime suspect. I mean, think about it, right? Now she's now one half of the women's tag team champion. She didn't even have to win a match. She has taken Jade's spot. Who else would it be? Maybe Jade attacked herself, like Eddie Thorpe on NXT. Maybe she threw herself off the platform or whatever onto the car. We'll come to find out that nobody actually attacked her. It was a case where she decided, you know what, I'm going to throw everybody off and I'm just going to attack myself and try to off myself on television. Who knows? You know, hey, Eddie Thorpe on NXT, I will say, very clever what he did the other day. We had Tiffany Stratton against Meechan, our first of two semifinal matches in the Women's United States Championship Tournament. Stratton caught Meechan with a running double stomp on the apron as the show went to commercial. Show came back and Stratton went for another double stomp. This time, though, Meechan moved. She hit a tornado DDT. She followed that up with a second DDT. Got a two count out of it. Meechan went for eat defeat. That turned into an Alabama slam attempt from Stratton, but that got countered into a tarantula by Meechan in the ropes. Meechan then tried for a shotgun dropkick. Stratton moved and hit her Alabama slam for a two. Meechan tried a sleeper. Tiffany broke it up. Two of them battled on the ropes. Meechan went to the top. Stratton, though, cut her off. Hit a rolling senton. And then Tiffany went to go for the prettiest moonsault ever. And she hit it. The problem is she wasn't supposed to. So what happened is she was going to go up, hit the moonsault, and Meechan was going to roll out of the way. Unfortunately, Meechan did not move out of the way in time. So she moved out of the way a little bit, but Tiffany still more or less landed on her, but she wasn't supposed to. So she no-sold it because that was the spot, right? she's going to miss. So she no-sold it, and then she hit Eat Defeat, and she pinned Tiffany Stratton clean in the middle of the ring, 1-2-3, to advance to the finals of the tournament. Tiffany Stratton losing this match was not a surprise. Look at Tiffany Stratton's win-loss record since Money in the Bank and tell me that you're surprised by this, okay? Her losing a match at this point, I'd be surprised if she won. I mean, she won the week before. That was surprising. I expected Naomi to win. I told you last week, I said that shocked the hell out of me. So her losing a match is not surprising. Her losing a match as clean as she did to Meechan, of all people, that surprised me. I mean, good for Meechan. But it was the way in which she lost. Other than the mistimed finish, obviously, that was not expected either. But once we saw the outcome of this match, it made the other semifinal match later in the show fairly predictable. But the other thing that I got out of this match, and the segment in the back with Tiffany later in the show, you heard, and this has been a recurring thing in a lot of her matches, really from the moment they hit her music, and Tiffany comes out, even though she's the stuck-up, conceited heel, she gets cheered. She has a lot of fans, right? This has been the case with her ever since she got called up to the main roster at the beginning of the year. Go back to Perth and Elimination Chamber. She was in the Women's Chamber match all the way in Australia, and she was the most over woman in that entire match. So this is not a new phenomenon, but you hear the chants. It's Tiffy time. It's Tiffy time. This woman is going to be a babyface sooner rather than later. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And thank you, by the way, for all the nice messages the other night. I was suffering through the Dynamite stream. Not just because of Dynamite itself, but wasn't feeling well. I got a lot of very nice messages. A lot of concerned citizens, so I thank you for that. I still got this cough, but I'm doing a little bit better, at least. I just can't get rid of this damn cough. It's very annoying. We got a DIY vignette. Let's backtrack to last week and talk about something that happened. The Motor City Machine Guns debuted in WWE not that long ago, and in their second week, they became tag team champions. Last week, their run came to an end, very abruptly, and it came to an end at the hands of DIY. Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa going heel. They hatched their nefarious plan, and it worked, and they got their belts back. So now we got a pre-tape promo here, a DIY vignette. Johnny Gargano reflected on how they were screwed the first time out of their tag team titles in Johnny's hometown of Cleveland. This was a few months ago when they lost the titles to the Bloodline. So he talked about that and said that he bottled that deep inside, and he soldiered on. Then he noted how he told everybody that he would do whatever it takes to get those belts back. Ciampa weighed in and complained about the Machine Guns getting a shot at the titles right after their debut. And he said that they're on to better days because they are now two-time WWE Tag Team Champions. Not much else to this promo, but at least, you know, they had to recap what happened last week. They couldn't just ignore it. We had a title change. So we had a DIY promo, and then later in the show, we had a promo from the Motor City Machine Guns. We got another promo as well. This one far more important. We got a Roman Reigns promo. He couldn't be bothered to be on the show tonight. He's not on Saturday night's main event tomorrow night either. But this was a pre-tape promo, and it was filmed. Why? I don't know. But it was filmed outside on a random boat dock. Paul Heyman was in the background. The sun was setting behind them. Said the Bloodline ran everything. And they spliced in footage as he was speaking. So the Bloodline ran everything. And then through the spring and the summer, it all fell apart. Said he lost his title. He lost his wise man. He lost the Bloodline. He lost his dog. He got a winning scratch-off ticket at the 7-Eleven. He lost that. Nothing was going this man's way. But most importantly, He lost his Ulafala. See, the thing is, Solo, 4 years ago, you weren't here. Roman didn't take that Ulafala. He says he earned it. His father, his uncle, Solo's great uncles, they crowned him with that responsibility because he was the man to lead this family. The only thing that matters to him is his family and his Ulafala. To some, January 6th is Netflix. It's the big Netflix debut, and that's all it's about. To him, it's about tribal combat. Solo's Bloodline 1-1, that was a crown jewel. And his Bloodline 1-1, which was War Games. So he says they leave their tribes on the side and let them spectate. Tribal Chief versus Tribal Chief, January 6th on Netflix. He takes back his Bloodline. He takes back his Ulafala. He takes back his respect. And once he has that respect, the whole world will have no choice but to acknowledge him. So it is official. Roman Reigns one-on-one with Solo Sikoa. Tribal Combat on January 6th. Obviously, that's a huge match to be doing on television. Right? Is Netflix still television? Technically, right? Technically, it's television. They used to say that about HBO. It's not TV, it's HBO. And I used to go, what the fuck does that mean? Of course it's TV. Who came up with that? But they're not doing it at the Royal Rumble. They're not doing it at WrestleMania. At least, God, I hope not. They're doing it on January 6th. It is the right time. You want to have Roman Reigns on that show. You want to have Roman Reigns in the ring. It would be the equivalent if Brock Lesnar was still in WWE, having Brock Lesnar wrestle on that show. I believe the only time Brock Lesnar had a television match in all the years that he came back to WWE, and he came back in 2012, and he was wrestling up until last year. The only time he had a match was 8 seconds on Fox 5 years ago when he beat Kofi Kingston. And I will never forget Mark Henry's stunned reaction as he sat in the first few rows watching that. That was all of us that night. That was the only time that Brock Lesnar wrestled on TV. He was an attraction. He was an attraction on the pay-per-views. You never saw him wrestle on TV. And so this would be the equivalent where if Brock was still here, they would absolutely, no doubt, be setting up a Brock Lesnar match on that. That's how big this Netflix show is going to be to this company. They're putting everything on the table here, all hands on deck, including Roman Reigns. So that is a big match for that show. And as far as what's going to happen, I look at it one of two ways. And a few weeks ago, I said, well, as far as Solo and where things are going to go with Solo Sikoa, if I had the pen, you have Roman against Solo. Roman beats Solo. Solo does what he said many, many months ago, what he told the Tongans before Jacob Fatu even came in, what he told the Tongans he would do. If Roman can beat me, he's the tribal chief. I'll acknowledge him, and I will hand over the Ulafala. So he does that. And that's what gets him kicked out of the Bloodline. It's like when Hulk Hogan lost to The Rock at WrestleMania 18. What happened when the match was over? Scott Hall and Kevin Nash got in the ring and they kicked his ass. They kicked him out of the NWO. They just debuted a month before. They kicked him out of the NWO because he lost one match. Solo's lost a hell of a lot more than just one match. He lost War Games. If he loses this match, there has to be consequences. How could there not be? How could there not be consequences if he loses again? So that's one potential outcome. If it goes the other way and Solo's going to win this match, I think it'll be with the assist from Drew McIntyre. It just seems to me like that is where we're headed here. If you just look at the people that McIntyre has attacked so far, I think Roman will end up being the final person that he takes his revenge on, and it could be on that night in that match. And that's how Solo gets to hang on to the necklace. So it's just a matter of pick your poison. You know, who do you think is going over? Do you think Roman's winning or do you think Solo's winning? And I don't know which way they're going to go with it. I kind of feel like it's going to be McIntyre costing Roman so they could drag this thing out with Roman and Solo, even though I really don't want them to. But it kind of feels like that may be where we're headed here. But either way, something big's going down then. I'm glad they're doing it then. I just hope it's the only time and we're not setting up for a WrestleMania match. I just have no appetite for it. I really don't. I have no interest in seeing Roman and Solo dragged out until WrestleMania 41. Of all the potential Roman Reigns matches, even though this one may be the most story-rich as far as the history with these guys over the last few years, Roman and Solo, now, I'm not saying there's no history there. That does not scream WrestleMania to me. I would rather see Roman against Drew McIntyre on the WrestleMania stage. Roman and McIntyre, Roman and Punk, Roman and Jacob. Like, any of those matches appeals to me more than Roman and Solo on that show. That's the one thing I know I don't want to see. Now, they also advertised a Netflix kickoff event next Wednesday at WWE headquarters. Talent will be there. Some of the big names they mentioned, Cody, Punk, Seth. But also, fans are invited. But very interesting that in the promotion of the talent that will be there and in the graphics on the screen, Logan Paul was there. They're advertising Logan Paul for this. And I just laughed because, and I didn't say a word about this on Twitter because I didn't think it was news, because I didn't think people actually believed it. But evidently, people thought Logan Paul was retired. Because on his podcast this week, he made a comment and said, oh, I'm a dad now. Because he and his wife had a baby a few months ago. And he goes, I'm a dad now. I'm retired. Like, I'm done. And this hit the news sites and people were talking about it. Like, oh my God, he's retired. That came out of nowhere. And I go, yeah, no shit, because he's not retired. But I guess people took it as gospel. And then it didn't even last a week. And they're already advertising him for the Netflix event next week. And probably he'll be on that first Netflix show on January 6th. So I just laugh. Like, you can't take what this guy says seriously. Can't do it. Backstage, Legado del Fantasma complained to Nick Aldis about their treatment on SmackDown. Said they might be better off on Raw. Santos Escobar told Angel to get him the phone number, or get the Raw GM on the phone. Get Adam Pearce on the phone. Aldis didn't seem too bummed out about the possibility of them moving brands. Why should he give a shit? He'll be just fine without these guys. Carmelo Hayes then walked by and Aldis told him, oh, your opportunity is up next against your mystery opponent. So finally, the time was upon us to find out who this mystery man would be. The mystery opponent for Carmelo Hayes, we were told, was the newest addition to the SmackDown roster as part of the transfer window that they told us about last week. So right off the bat, you know it's not somebody new coming in. You know it's a trade of some kind. And in my head, I'm going over, okay, who could it be? Like, would they move, would they move Sheamus, or would they move somebody like that? I'm trying to think of who it might be. Obviously it wasn't Penta and it wasn't Trick Williams. And thankfully it wasn't Trick Williams, because Trick Williams, he ain't ready for the main roster. Not even close. That would have been a huge mistake. Trick Williams needs to stay right where he is because he ain't ready. Even though he and Melo have history together. No, it was Braun Strowman. The Strowman Express barreled on into SmackDown this week. I was very sad that we didn't get the whole run around the ring. Can't play my little sound effect here, but now that he's on SmackDown, I'm sure that we'll be getting it. We'll be getting it quite often, I'm sure. But yes, it was Braun Strowman, who somehow looks even bigger than he did the last time I saw him in his last Monster Standing match with Bronson Reed. So they start this match, and Melo, he jumps at Strowman, and he just bounces off of him like nothing. He just bounces off of him like a rubber ball. Melo, though, did move when Strowman charged at him, and then Strowman posted himself shoulder first. Melo followed up with a drop kick to his leg and a DDT, only got a one count. Then he goes up top. He jumps off the top rope. Obviously, he gets caught. Strowman puts him down with power slam. 1, 2, 3. Thanks for coming. Braun Strowman picks up the win. And that is the end of your first round draft pick, ladies and gentlemen. You best believe this is still a big man territory. Oh, yes, it is. Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Drew McIntyre, Big Bronson Reed. Got a lot of big guys on top right now. I am not a fan of them squashing their first-round draft pick like that. The only way this makes sense is if he is being transferred to Monday Night Raw. It's like someone who is going to undergo a face turn or a heel turn, and they lose a lot. And it's like, well, what are they doing here? This person keeps losing. Well, if they're going to be turned, it kind of doesn't matter. I mean, you don't want to get to a point, where you're just beating them so much that they have zero credibility. But if you beat somebody several times and then they turn heel or whatever, like, okay, like, it's fine. In this case, if they're going to move him from SmackDown to Raw, I still scratch my head when I see him, somebody as touted as he was when they first called him up, being virtually squashed by this man. I mean, yes, I know there's a huge size difference between them, but still, the fact that they did this match and then they did what they did, I get wanting to establish Braun in a dominant fashion, but that's what people like Vinci are for. And I know he's back there because I saw him a few weeks ago. He was sitting around having a conversation with Carmelo Hayes in the back. So I know somebody like Giovanni Vinci, they could trot out somebody like that. Why would you do that with Carmelo Hayes unless he is being moved from SmackDown to Raw? Then it really doesn't matter so much. So for his sake, I hope that's what's going on here. I hope that's the case. As far as Strowman is the mystery man, look, it didn't bother me. It's not a major name or anything for people who got it in their heads. It was going to be some huge mystery. You got to temper your expectations when it comes to this sort of thing. I think it's fine, you know. And look, Strowman is a capable big man performer. It's a shame he got hurt because he had that great program with Bronson Reed and they had the Last Monster Standing and he pulled his groin or tore his groin, whatever it was. And he wrestled the match like that too, because it happened pretty early on in the match. And a lot of people thought, oh, maybe he hurt his knee or something. I didn't know he tore his fucking groin, but he finished the match, right? So, I mean, credit to him. And that then he was out for a while. So whatever momentum he was starting to really build, it got stifled. Hopefully he can build some more momentum on SmackDown and have some new people to work with. You know, I don't think it's a bad acquisition for SmackDown. If he's not being moved, if Hayes is not being moved, that was a terrible use of him. There's just no other justification for that unless they've given up on him. Renee was backstage to interview. Wrong show. I was saying it so many times the other night, I thought she was back again. No, it was not Renee. It was Byron Saxton. And Byron Saxton was in the back to interview LA Knight, who said, you know, he's always made it a point to mind his own business. He was asked to be in War Games, and he said no, because it wasn't his business. Knight said that he doesn't give a crap about Roman Reigns. He doesn't give a crap about Solo Sikoa. He doesn't give a crap about their oofalafa. I got to tell you, I fucking died when he called it that. And he went on and called it that another two or three times, and I laughed each time he said it. Because my brain, like when he says that, and I hear that out loud, like oofalafa, I don't know, my brain immediately thinks loofah. So now when I see Solo, you know, walking around with this oofalafa, all I'm going to think of is he's walking around with a fucking loofah. Thanks to LA Knight is what I'm going to think of now. But he said, he said the only one in that family worth a damn is Jey Uso. But now Solo got between Knight and his gold. So Knight's fist will get in the way of Solo's face and his boot will meet Solo's big fat ass. He said, this is still LA Knight's game, and then he did his catchphrase to end the segment here. This was genuinely funny. Like, this was not like, no, this was funny. Like, I laughed at this. And, you know, he's always had that stone-cold cadence in his promo delivery. Like, even going back, I'm trying to think of some of the promos he did as Eli Drake in TNA, but I remember it more so really standing out to me in the NWA. He would cut these promos. And again, Shoes of a Champion, still one of the best promos I've ever seen. If you've never seen it, it's on YouTube. It was from his days in the NWA, you know, working for Billy Corgan. He may or may not have been genuinely sloshed, but he came out with a bottle of champagne and it's Shoes of a Champion. What a great promo that was. But I noticed it really in the NWA, that Stone Cold Steve Austin cadence in the way he, just the way he speaks. It's not even in the words themselves, just in the way he delivers a promo. I hear Stone Cold Steve Austin. It was even more noticeable here in this promo, but it doesn't matter because it works for him. It works for him. It's genuinely entertaining and it gets over in front of the crowd. So you stick with what works, you know? Clearly you know who his inspirations were, but it works for him. And he was up next in action because we did have LA Knight one-on-one with Solo Sikoa. Who watches the NWA? Well, believe it or not, there was a period of time where NWA Power was, you know, a genuine, like, must-see show for me every week. Like, that first season of NWA Power, I watched all those episodes. And then the pandemic hit and shut everything down, and I never went back to it. And, yeah, there were some times when they brought it back, finally, I would kind of cut in and check it out, but it just wasn't the same. Yeah, when they were in the GPB studios, I think, probably had, I don't know, maybe they had 150 people there, whatever it was. Yeah, it was a throwback. It was a throwback to the days of studio wrestling. And that was what, you know, Billy Corgan conceived of it being, to have that look and feel. But they had a good crew of people there. I remember Tim Storm and Mama Storm. And, you know, they had Josephus, you know, who passed away a few years ago. And they had Eli Drake and they had Nick Aldis. And that was my first exposure to Camille, who was in the news today. And a bunch of other people, too. It was a fun show. So, yeah, I'm not really commenting on it now because I don't watch it now. But back then, I enjoyed it. But yeah, LA Knight against Solo Sikoa. Knight clothesline Solo over the top to the floor. Solo pulled Knight outside, rammed him back first into the apron. Solo slammed Knight on top of the commentary table and posed. And then Knight rolled back into the ring. The action, though, went right back outside. Knight threw Solo into the ring steps and then slammed him on top of the announce desk. Back inside, Solo hit a Samoan drop. And then for the third time, the action spilled outside. Knight dropkicked Tama Tonga. Again, Tonga Loa not there because he tore his bicep, so he's going to be out for a few months. Solo landed a spinning Solo tonight on top of the announce desk, and that took us into a commercial break. Ah, yes, Ricky Starks. How could I forget? Yes. Of course, yeah, that was my first exposure to Ricky Starks, was on the NWA. I said, hey, this guy's got something on promos. He's very charismatic. Imagine taking this man and paying him and sitting him at home and having him do nothing. I don't think there'd ever be a promoter that would do that. Yeah, Ricky Starks, the question mark. That's right, the question mark. Had Aaron Stevens. Yeah. And they brought in Trevor Murdoch. Power is still a thing. NWA Power is still a thing, believe it or not. You don't really hear about it, but yeah, Brodus Clay as the champion. Well, that was pretty much the death of the NWA. That was pretty much the death knell right there. If it wasn't already dead, it was sick and then it died. So after the commercial, Solo set up and tried a Superman punch. He was mocking Roman Reigns, but Knight countered into a back suplex. Knight took Solo down with a flying clothesline, then he set up for a BFT. Sokoa, though, rolled out to the floor. Knight clotheslined both Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga outside the ring, and then Knight back body dropped Fatu over the commentary desk. Back in the ring, Solo hit a super kick and then went for a Samoan spike, but Knight countered with a side effect. Knight went to the second turnbuckle and then jumped to the top from the middle rope. He does that little leap up to the top and then hit an elbow drop, got a good near fall, and that got the crowd heated. Like, this crowd was into this match. This is the best match on the entire show, and the crowd had a lot to do with it. Now, the crowd sounded and felt dead for most every other match on this show, but for this one and these near falls, they were into it. So he kicks out, and Knight is laying there on the mat, and he's all frustrated. And in the background, behind him, you can see Jacob Fatu woke up. He's like on the announce desk now. He rose up and he just looked like a monster, and he went nuts and he walked over and he grabbed LA Knight like and pulled him through the ropes, and the referee sees this and immediately calls for the disqualification. You know, in the spirit of today being Friday the 13th, I mean, he really did. It was like Jason Voorhees, like just rising up from the dead. He looked like a monster too. Like if I had Jacob Fatu in this dark alley over here, and I had Jason Voorhees in this dark alley over here, I would have to think twice. I mean, I probably would just pass out and die on the spot from a heart attack. But like if they were coming after me or I had nowhere to go, you know, it's like I'll take my chances with Jason, I think, because he's not the fastest person in the world. You know, he's not exactly fleet of foot. I feel like I might be able to, circumvent him somehow. Jacob Fatu is a lot more agile than Jason is. So Fatu then hit a running hip attack to Knight up against the barricade. Solo hit a Samoan spike to Knight, and the bloodline beat him down until, guess who came out? If I gave you 1,000 guesses, you would never guess. Well, you mean you might guess Andrade, but it wasn't just Andrade. Apollo Crews, he came out too. Believe it or not, another guy who could have been squashed on this show instead of Carmelo Hayes, although I guess he's a babyface, so that doesn't work. But it actually makes sense because several weeks ago when the Bloodline arrived at the beginning of the show, they were going through security, the metal detectors, and they went right by Apollo Crews, and Apollo mouthed off to Solo, and then he got beaten up for it. So I guess this was his revenge. So he and Andrade, they came out to make the save. And I almost did a spit take when I saw Apollo Crews coming out here, but it does make sense that he would want to get revenge. But it didn't work out too well, and they got laid out too. So much for the brigade here coming out to make the save. Andrade and Crews both get laid out, and the Bloodline stands tall to end the segment. These men had some heat for this. And the crowd was fully behind LA Knight, and they protected him too, because they could have beaten him, I mean, not clean, but they spared him a pinfall loss. So with the DQ finish, even though it was kind of lame, at least it protected him by not pinning him in the middle of the ring with a Samoan spike, because that would have been a mistake. And you knew Solo wasn't going to lose, other than maybe on a DQ. He wasn't going to get pinned here. Like, there was no debate about the outcome. He's the one who has a match with Roman Reigns in a few weeks, not LA Knight. And, you know, Andrade is one thing. Apollo Crews is one thing. Using LA Knight, you know, as a way to try to put heat back on Solo Sikoa after losing in War Games, I'm not really a big fan of that. I can't say it didn't work, though, because fans like LA Knight. So when he got, you know, beaten down and they did the DQ and everything, the fans were hot about it. So it was effective. It accomplished what they wanted it to accomplish. I just hate that, you know, he's used in that scenario. Although I would imagine he'll be going back after Shinsuke Nakamura before long. In the back, Braun Strowman was walking and he ran into Pretty Deadly, who said that they've been looking for a monster You got one sitting right here. I'm here every week. They've been looking for a monster for months, and he would be perfect for Pretty Deadly the Musical. What do you guys think? You think I would be good in a musical? My musical ability? You know you'd love it. So they handed him their script, and he wasn't too keen on reading it, so he just kept walking. I still can't believe they're doing this musical shit with Pretty Deadly. Like, can we move on from this already, please? So then he ran into Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. The same Austin Theory, I should point out to you, who lost last week in a dark match to Luke Gallows. A dark match to Luke Gallows. Think of where this man's career was when he beat John Cena at WrestleMania last year. And look at where he is now. Look at you now. The fall of Austin Theory. Waller invited Strowman onto the Grayson Waller Effect next week, and to their surprise, he accepted and said, I'll see you guys next week. So, with any luck, Carmelo Hayes may get a second chance. He may get a second shot at Strowman. Maybe he'll be crashing the party on the Grayson Waller Effect next week. Either that or Waller and Theory will be next in line to get squashed. They'll just squash the entire undercard. Then it was the other semifinal match in the Women's United States Championship Tournament. It was Bayley one-on-one with Chelsea Green. We got a lot of promotion. Nearly all over this show. But we got a lot of promotion for Mufasa, this new Lion King movie that's out. Including them coming back from commercial in the middle of this match. And right after they come back from commercial, they go to a 30-second picture-in-picture for another fucking Lion King commercial. Very weird ad placement on this show. So the first, I would estimate, I don't know, 85% of this match, totally heatless. Totally heatless. Without heat. Nobody cared. It was dead silence. Deadly silence. Chelsea ran right into a Bayley to belly right out of the gate, and Bayley got a quick two count that nobody bought. Later on, Chelsea rolled to the outside. Bayley chased after her. When they returned to the ring, Piper Niven tripped Bayley up, and Chelsea took advantage ahead of the commercial break. Chelsea was working Bayley over on the apron when Bayley ran her into the ring post, and then she followed that up with a neck breaker and a sliding clothesline. Suplexed Green on the outside. Bayley rolled her back into the ring and went to the top, but Chelsea cut her off and then went to the second rope. She tried for a Vader bomb. You know, a Vader bomb makes sense when you're 430 pounds. You know, even like Jack Swagger used to do a Vader bomb, but he was a big guy. I mean, he wasn't big like Vader, but, you know, even Swagger, you know, Hager was a good-sized guy. Chelsea Green doing a Vader bomb, it just doesn't have the same effect. I don't know about that. I don't know that someone like her should be using a Vader bomb. Just doesn't seem like a very effective move. But she tried one here, and it didn't work. Bayley tried for a Bayley to belly, but Green countered with a roll-up. Then Chelsea hit a Rough Rider for a near fall. Bayley planted her and went to the top. Piper Niven dragged Chelsea to the outside, and so Bayley decided to come off the top with an elbow drop to the floor. And she came crashing down right on the back of Piper Niven's head as she was standing there. I mean, it looked like it was a pretty rough impact. And so down went Piper Niven. Green then threw Bayley over the barricade by the timekeeper's area, and then she got back into the ring, and she was praying for a countout. Bayley, though, was able to make it back into the ring before the 10 count, but Chelsea met her with a knee to the face and then dropped her with the unpretty her and pinned her to advance to the next round of the tournament, which just so happens to be the finals tomorrow night. Chelsea Green pins Bayley. Now, yes, Piper Niven was getting involved constantly in this match, so you can't say it was totally clean. But as far as the finish itself, you know, Bayley made it back into the ring in time. She got caught with a knee. She got planted face down. And she got pinned. Chelsea didn't hold on to the rope. She didn't hook the tights. Piper Niven was laying on the floor outside. As clean of a win as you could possibly expect in a match like this. That was the only part of this that surprised me. Chelsea Green winning was a foregone conclusion the minute that the referee counted three for Meechan in the opening match earlier in the show. And so, like Tiffany Stratton earlier, Bayley eats the loss here. As far as how we got here, I didn't predict this final. I didn't predict this would be the final. I thought we were getting Bayley and Naomi. I thought they would want some names in the finals, given that it was going to be on NBC on a big show like Saturday Night's Main Event. And there was going to be some kind of an angle or a turn with either one of them, maybe Naomi. And then there would be plenty of time to have her drop the belt to somebody lower on the food chain, you know, to transition the championship over to somebody who could really, truly benefit from it, who has not been a champion before, at least not a singles champion. That's where someone like a Meechan or a Chelsea Green could really benefit from something like that. Candice LeRae or Blair Davenport, you know, one she's established a little more often. Somebody like that. But then, you know, Naomi got bounced in the opening round. Tiffany got bounced tonight. Jade was taken out with the injury angle. And so now we're getting Chelsea Green and Meechan, who have history together. They wrapped up a program just a couple of months ago that culminated in a dumpster match where Chelsea Green lost and got dumped in a garbage disposal. She got dumped in a dumpster. And so now they're going to run this back. So at least there's history between them, and I think we all know where this is headed. I can't say that it's a foregone conclusion who's winning this tournament, but I think we know who's probably winning this tournament. And I'm happy for her. I think a lot of the fans are going to be happy for her as well, because she reminds me of Tiffany in many ways, as far as the reaction from the crowd in a lot of the places, maybe not every city, but in a lot of the places they go to, because she's very entertaining. People like Chelsea Green. And I think that if she does win the championship tomorrow night, they're going to be at the Nassau Coliseum. Honestly, with the Nassau Coliseum, you never know what you're going to get. Typically, in the past, you do not have great crowds on Long Island in that building. That's not always the case, but that historically has been the case. And I've been in that building many, many times, so I know of what I speak. But I think that if she were to walk out with that championship and get the three count tomorrow, I think there would be a lot of people happier to see her win than Meechan. Not because they hate Meechan, but because they like Chelsea. And two women who also have history going back to their days in TNA. Right? They competed in that knockouts division in Impact, so they've traveled the same roads. All roads lead to Long Island now, tomorrow night. We got a video promo from the Motor City Machine Guns. This was their rebuttal to DIY from earlier. They came to WWE to make a statement, and they did so by winning the titles in short order. They knew that rubbed people the wrong way. They did not expect Johnny Gargano to throw away 18 years of friendship. But they get it. These are the most important tag team titles. Alex Shelley said next week, Johnny gets reminded why Shelly is the teacher and Johnny is the student. So, going to get a match between those two, which should be very good. They aired a Shinsuke Nakamura vignette. It had the usual English subtitles while he spoke Japanese. He said, one by one, everyone will fall to him. He said, LA Knight was just the beginning and Knight is pining for something that he no longer has. And Nakamura closed by saying that he is inevitable. Again, the presentation of his character since he came back has been spot on. You know, we saw vignettes like this with his last run last year. But that, with the subtitle promos, that coupled with this new look and the new music and everything, the presentation has been A+. You know, whether or not we're going to start to see Nakamura, you know, lighten it up in matches in the ring or feuding with somebody and having a really interesting, you know, program with somebody. I don't have a lot of high hopes for that. I'm thinking LA Knight probably beats him and gets his belt back. Tiffany Stratton was walking backstage. She looked sullen after her loss earlier. Ran into Nia Jax, who said that it was a tough night, but not everybody is meant to be a champion. Candice walked in and said, hey, next week, she told Nia, next week I talked to Nick Aldis, and guess what? You and I are challenging for the women's tag team title. So it's going to be the two of them taking on Bianca Belair and Naomi. Nia said, now Nia looked at Tiffany and it was almost like, ugh. You know, she could tell, like, maybe this wasn't the time to be saying this in front of her. But she told Candice, all right, let's go talk strategy for next week. Nia walks off and Candice hangs back and tells Tiffany, maybe you're just not cut out for singles matches. And she left. And Tiffany did not look happy, all while she held up her Money in the Bank briefcase. Some foreshadowing going on there. I think Tiffany has had enough. I think she's had enough, and I think the first opportunity that she gets, and no, I don't think it's going to be on Liv Morgan tomorrow night, but the first opportunity she gets on Nia to cash that briefcase in, she's going to take it. And it's not going to be next week. We know that, because they're not going to tape a Money in the Bank cash in tonight. That would be ridiculous. But it's going to happen soon. I'm wondering, actually, you know, Netflix. I wonder if they would wait until January 6th. Everybody's going to be there. They would do something on that first Netflix Raw. Very possible. But if you couldn't tell from the match earlier, you could tell just based on the way she was treated here in this segment, that babyface turn, that's coming soon. It's coming real soon. D is rooting for Mia. So you want Meechin to become the U.S. champion? Well, it's possible. I'm not saying it isn't. We'll get to the predictions here in just a second. We got to talk about the final segment. Got to talk about this main event. Get those likes up, by the way. If you are just coming on in. The show closed with the final word. That's how they build it. In the middle of the ring with Michael Cole introducing Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens ahead of their championship match tomorrow night. Owens was announced. He did not come out. Cody asked Cole, well, let's proceed with the interview anyway. And Michael Cole asked Cody about the gift that Triple H was going to allow him to use for one night only. I'm sure you've all seen the video that was posted by Triple H on social media yesterday, where they are teasing that Cody Rhodes, they haven't come right out and say it yet, but it's happening. It's happening, and I'm very excited. Cody has been annoying these people for months and months, years, in fact, since he came back to the company in 2022 to bring back the Winged Eagle Championship. Not the Big Eagle, the Winged Eagle, the one that you see right there over my shoulder. And he convinced them back in 2011, I believe it was, to bring back the old classic Intercontinental title design. It wasn't exact. It looked very much like the classic IC title, but it was a little bit different. But that was Cody. That was his idea, and he brought it back. He wanted to do the same thing for the Winged Eagle. They always say, no, 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 no. So now Triple H is going to let him do it one night only. It's coming back tomorrow night, because everything's going retro tomorrow night. And that championship was featured quite a bit on that show back in the day. So Michael wants to know, what's this gift that Triple H is talking about? And before he could answer, Kevin Owens appeared on video from his car. He asked Cole, why don't you ask the real question, which is how Cody can use all of his friends to finish his story and then betray them by teaming with Roman Reigns at Bad Blood. Owens dared Cody to be honest and admit that he's as bad of a friend as he is a son and a brother. He said no matter how long Cody holds the title for or how many main events he's in, he was way more interesting as Stardust. And that got under Cody's skin. He told Cole, you know what? We don't have to wait for Owens to come up with more zingers. He could just go back there and confront him face to face. And that's what he did. He left the ring. He threw his belt down first. And he got out of the ring and he headed to the back. He walked through the gorilla position. And just outside the gorilla position, as he was going down this ramp into the backstage area, Owens ambushed him, tacked him from behind. He set the trap. Cody walked right into it. And Owens beat him up all the way back into the arena, and security attempted to break them up to no avail. In the ring, Cody took down Owens, and he landed some very weak-looking punches before they were finally separated. So now Cody was being restrained, and he had his arms were kind of all tied up, and he couldn't defend himself when Owens broke free, picked the belt up off the mat, and waffled him in the head with the WWE Championship. And then he dropped the belt across Cody's body, and that is how they ended the show. This was a decent angle. This just lacked the intensity that I think this feud really warrants. Like, we've seen pull-apart brawls and go-home show brawls before that were much better than this, much more believable and intense and had the sense of urgency. Like, these guys really wanted to rip each other, you know, apart. This didn't feel like that. This was very, you know, it's all right. Yeah, they're doing the usual formula here, but I don't know. It just lacked the intensity that I think it needed. But it did what it had to do, which was set the table for tomorrow night. As far as this show tonight, it was not a great show. This was not a great show. But lots and lots of just endless promotion for Saturday night's main event. They tried to drill it into your brain that Saturday night's main event is coming back, and it's coming back, it's coming back tomorrow night. And this is your main event. So you can't say that they didn't at least do what they had to do in terms of promoting that show. But this was a definite step down from a lot of the recent shows that they've done. Now, before we get into the prediction, we're going to do predictions here. Let me just take a look at the poll for tonight. What did you think of SmackDown before Saturday night's main event? 55% thumbs up, 30% thumbs in the middle, and 15% thumbs down. I know I haven't had the middle option for all the polls recently, but this is probably the worst poll that SmackDown has had in quite some time. Why can't wrestlers throw a good working punch? I don't know. Look, I don't sit here and claim to know how to throw a better punch than Cody Rhodes or Kevin Owens. I'm just saying I've seen this angle a million fucking times on television over these many, many years I've been watching wrestling. And I don't know. I don't know if it has to do with the way they were trained, I guess. You know, because I comment on it and other people comment on it as well. When you go back and you watch old school wrestling, you don't even have to go back to the 70s, but you can go back to the 70s, 80s, early 90s. You know, and you see these guys, whether it was a Randy Savage or whether it was a Bret Hart or whether it was a Jerry Lawler or a Scott Hall. Like, there were a lot of guys who had Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett is another one. Steve Austin, The Rock. There are guys that had this just a great working punch, you know, where it looked good and it looked snug. And today, it feels like a lost art. And I don't know if it's just because it's been replaced by chops and forearms and more chops and flips and other stuff, and kind of the art of just throwing a basic punch has been lost in the noise of all these fancy schmancy moves that people have to do in every single match, you know, these days. I don't know. It's like almost like kind of the focus on the fundamentals, man. Like, where are the people that could throw a punch that makes you go, oh shit, that looks like it hurt, you know? Like, I don't know. But when I think of people that have a great looking like wrestling punch, I don't think of too many guys in wrestling today that really jump out at me. I always think back to, again, names like Jarrett and Lawler and Hart, Hall, Austin. Like, those are the names that always stand out to me. And I can only imagine that it just goes back to the way they were trained and who they were trained by. You know, and guys today are just trained differently than they were 30 or 40 years ago. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, there were a lot of training practices back then that I'm glad we don't hear about today, because it was brutal, you know. And the wrestling business was just a lot more closed off back then than it is today. But it all comes down to who trained you. You know, who's your trainer? What school did you go to? And everyone's style is different, but I don't know why it just feels like Undertaker. That's right, Undertaker, best pure striker, right? Yeah, but Undertaker, even those thrusts, the gray glove, right? The thrusts that Undertaker would throw, and Kane, same way with Kane. I don't know, man. It was just a different time. It was better back then. But let's talk about Saturday night's main event. Speaking of better back then, a lot of fond memories of this show from my younger years as a wrestling fan. Of course, there were no PLEs, but there were very few major televised shows on the scale of what we have today. You had WrestleMania, you had SummerSlam. When I first started watching, you had WrestleMania had already been established, and you had Survivor Series. There was no SummerSlam even at that point. SummerSlam didn't start until the following year, because I started in 87. So Saturday night's main event filled the void in between, because you had the syndicated shows. And then it was like you didn't have much else. So it was like a big deal. And being live on NBC was a big deal too. So a lot of fond memories from those shows. But one of the things that I am most looking forward to tomorrow night is the return of Jesse the Body Ventura. I don't know how many matches he's going to call. I don't know if he's just doing matches, if he's going to do backstage interviews, because he did some of those too with the heels, you know, back in the old Saturday night's main event days. He would tell Vince McMahon, I gotta go do an interview, McMahon. And then he'd go to the back and he'd interview somebody. Back to you, McMahon. And then he'd come back to the announce booth and he'd make fun of McMahon's toupee. Like, he did it all. You know, Jesse was all over those shows. And he's a lot older now, right? Maybe he's lost a little speed on his fastball, but if you listen to him speak, like, he's got that voice. He sounds like Jesse. And it's been a very long time, but I'm very much looking forward to that. They're bringing back some of the legends as well. Jimmy Hart will be there. Tito Santana. Greg the Hammer Valentine. Coco Beware will be at the show. The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, was going to be there. He had to pull out. He's having a minor medical procedure, so he may be on some of the future ones, but he will not be there tomorrow night. They have not said anything about Hulk Hogan or anything like that. Hogan, obviously, is synonymous with Saturday night's main event. So it would make sense for him to be there. I don't know if he will be or not. I don't give a shit either way. I've seen plenty of Hogan over the last several years. I've seen none of Jesse when it comes to wrestling. So that's what I'm looking forward to. But then we get to the matches. There's an actual card here too, by the way. Let's go through this card. We have Sami Zayn one-on-one with Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre is not going to lose this match. Drew McIntyre cannot lose this match if the plan is to do him and Jey Uso next. All right? That wouldn't make any sense. So unless he gets himself disqualified, Drew McIntyre is winning this match. A match that originally was not even supposed to happen on this show. We have the finals of the United States Championship Tournament between Chelsea Green and Meechan. And I do declare that Chelsea Green, I believe, will be the first ever women's United States champion. And it'll be well deserved. You know, she's been great in the role that she was given. I still think back to Money in the Bank when she took that hellacious bump off the top of the ladder down through those two tables on the outside. She's great. And it could go either way. Don't be surprised. Meechan could win. Meechan could win if the plan is for Chelsea to then win the title off of her. They'll feud again. But again, they already had a feud. And Meechan won. She beat her. in the dumpster match. This should be Chelsea's win. I predict it will be. We have another women's match. This one is for the Women's World Championship. Liv Morgan defending against Io Sky. Talking about the Birdman in the chat. Coco, beware. Don't be expecting Frankie. Frankie died in a fire many years ago. I don't know how long those birds live. How long do those birds live? Do they outlive us? Doesn't matter. Frankie is long gone. I don't know if he'll have the bird with him or not, or a bird. But yes, the bird man will be there. So we have Io Sky and Liv Morgan. And, you know, I know that it feels like Rhea Ripley challenging Liv Morgan maybe on January 6th for the Women's Championship and winning the belt back there. I'm going to go out and say we will get Rhea Ripley against Liv Morgan, possibly on January 6th. It will not be for the Women's World Championship, though, because Io Sky is going to win the Women's World Championship from Liv Morgan tomorrow night. And I think that Rhea Ripley will be there, and I think Rhea will be there to counteract Raquel Rodriguez. Io wins the world title, and we begin the build to Rhea Ripley and Io Sky for WrestleMania 41. That's a match I would like to see at WrestleMania. And we got a tease of something with them at the end of Raw Monday night, which is what really made me think about this. You could still do Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. You could still, you know, finally end their feud once and for all. Rhea goes over. Rhea will then have to win the Rumble or the Elimination Chamber to win a shot at the championship, but she'll do that. And you do Rhea and Io. You know, that final match between Rhea and Liv, it doesn't necessarily need to be for the Women's World Championship. So I'm picking Io to win. I'm pulling for her. I would like to see a title change in this match. We have got the World Heavyweight Championship being defended. We have Gunther putting the title on the line against Finn Balor and Damian Priest. Damian Priest was added to this match by Adam Pearce on Raw Monday night. It is now a triple threat match. Gunther is not losing the World Heavyweight Championship. I just can't see it. I know it might make it... And actually, I like adding Priest because it does make the match at least a little less predictable, because you could beat Gunther without actually beating Gunther. He could lose the title without taking the losing fall. It could give them an out if they wanted to get the belt off of him and protect him. I don't think that's why they did this, though. All three of these men have had issues with each other. This is the match I originally expected before they announced, you know, Balor and Gunther. So I think it's going to be a very good match. I think Gunther retains. And, you know, the idea that I pitched and I talked about on Monday night, Balor has been very full of himself. And he's been talking down to Dominic a lot, like every week, calling him kid. You know, pay attention, kid. You'll learn something one of these days. He flat out told Gunther on Monday night, you know, you're giving title shots to people who don't even deserve it. You're giving matches to people who don't even deserve it, like Dom, right? Every week, he's needling this guy. And I think where it's leading to, and it may not be tomorrow night, but I could see it being on that first Netflix Raw, because they're definitely going to shoot a couple of big angles on that show. And one big angle would be if Finn Balor were to be booted out of the Judgment Day and Dom takes over as the leader, and you got Dom and Liv leading the Judgment Day. But where Dominic can outsmart Finn is by engineering a trade whereby Finn is moved from Raw to SmackDown. Because we saw in the back last week, very brief in the background, it was never acknowledged, Dominic was having a conversation with Nick Aldis. We don't know about what. It wasn't brought up on Monday night. What if he was, you know, thinking ahead here and again, engineered a trade unbeknownst to Balor to have him moved. And before he gets moved, he gets kicked out of the group and Dom takes over. And that would give, you know, Balor a wealth of new people to work with over on SmackDown, too. But the Judgment Day needs something. It needs something different. This faction's been around now for a couple of years. It's gone through a couple of different iterations. If they're not going to just disband the entire thing, which, frankly, I'd be okay with that, too. But if they're not going to do that, this is an interesting idea that I'd like to see them at least consider. Balor and JD McDonagh are defending the Raw Tag Team titles this Monday against the War Raiders. They're going to lose those titles. Balor's going to lose tomorrow, and he's going to lose on Monday. And that's going to begin the downward spiral and lead to what I just talked about. That's my prediction. And then we have, for the WWE Championship, the main event of this show, Cody Rhodes defending what should be the Winged Eagle. Coming out to the ring. Now, Triple H did say in the segment with Cody on social media, one night only. So the Winged Eagle is not back for good. It's because they love their giant logo belts. This is not a logo belt. These belts actually have style. One night only. Whatever this gift is, he's going to allow him to use it. He's defending his championship against Kevin Owens. Before people started talking about the very real possibility of Kevin Owens becoming champion on this show, I pitched this idea 6-7 weeks ago. Some people thought, what, are you crazy? They're not going to do that. Yeah, you may be right. Maybe they're not going to. What I would like to see and what I think is going to happen are two totally different things. And since we're doing predictions, I predict that Cody Rhodes is going to retain the WWE Championship. I think Cody keeps the belt. I think that we're going to see Randy Orton. I don't know if it's going to be him interfering in the match and causing a non-finish so they can keep the feud with Cody and KO going, or if he comes out after the match. But he's going to come back, and he's going to get his revenge on Kevin Owens and go right after him for pile-driving him. That's how I think it's going to play out tomorrow night. Now, if you ask me what would I like to see happen, or, you know, power of the pen, how would I book this? I would have Kevin Owens win the WWE Championship. And as much as it pains me to even say this, Triple H saying that you can have it, but just for one night. That, to me, is just an opening for Kevin Owens to become the most hated man in wrestling, at least among longtime fans. The newer fans may not give a shit about the fucking Winged Eagle, because what the fuck do these people know? But since he's only allowed to have it back for one night anyway, you have Owens beat Cody Rhodes, and the parting shot of the night is Kevin Owens destroying the Winged Eagle Championship. He pulls a Mr. Perfect on this belt. Many years ago, Mr. Perfect took a hammer. He smashed the belt into little itty-bitty pieces. Broke my heart. And by the way, that did not go on to become the hardcore. There's still people who think that became the hardcore title. Because if you think about it, it kind of makes sense. It's not. Just so you know, that's the hardcore title that you saw in 98 when they debuted it was not the same belt. So that's how I think things should play out. Owens wins and he destroys Cody's beloved Eagle belt since he only has it back for one night anyway. It would certainly make him the biggest heel in wrestling to me. I could tell you that much. I don't understand something. Maybe you can help me understand this. When they put that video out on social media, one of the most frequent comments I saw in my timeline was, oh, they just spoiled it. There's no way Cody's losing now. Why would they do that? Of course, Cody's going to win. He's not getting the Winged Eagle belt and going to lose. I immediately thought the opposite, and I thought I was living in like the Twilight Zone. I said, if anything, I think it makes it even more likely that he would lose the championship. It certainly doesn't make it less likely for the reasons I just mentioned. I mean, if you wanted to put maximum heat on Kevin Owens, he wins by some kind of nefarious means, and then he takes this title, which, to the people who are longtime fans, They wouldn't want to see the title destroyed. And to the people who maybe don't have an attachment to it, or they're younger, they're newer, all they know is that he's taking something that means a lot to Cody, their beloved Cody Rhodes, and he's destroying it. And it just puts more heat on Kevin Owens. It makes him that much more of a prick. Even though a lot of what he's saying is true, you know, when he talks about Cody teaming with, like, everything he's saying makes sense, but he's a heel, clearly, in this, to the fans. It just, I don't know why people automatically just assumed it was some kind of a spoiler and there's no chance of Cody losing. If anything, it makes it a little more likely that he would lose. That's how I see it. What they're going to do, we'll have to wait and see, but I think Cody is going to retain. Not the move I would make. I don't see the harm in putting the championship, even if just for a little while, on Kevin Owens. This is a company that does not play hot potato with their top titles, okay? A far cry from the way things were 25 years ago, where they played hot potato with their championships every fucking week. There's got to be a happy medium, okay? It's okay to have a Roman Reigns run once every few years, or Gunther with the Intercontinental title 666 days. Great. I'm not saying nobody should have a long title run, but we've had so many of them. In the last few years alone, we've had so many of them. It gets boring. And it's okay if Cody Rhodes doesn't go a full year as the champion. If Cody Rhodes doesn't go fucking 2 years. I had one person the other day arguing with me saying that would be the biggest mistake Triple H can make. He's got to have a run as long as Roman's. And I'm just like, what are you smoking? Why would you want to see that again? Right after Roman had 3.5 years as champion, you want Cody Rhodes to have, well, because he finished his story, he worked so hard. And as I pointed out to this person, Stone Cold Steve Austin, it took him 8 years to become world champion in his career. It took him 3 months to lose that championship, 8 years to win it, 3 months to lose it. Now, granted, he only lost it for 24 hours and he got it back. But then 3 months later, he lost it again. And he had to fight and scratch and claw his way back to it at WrestleMania the following year. And he had to fight off all of Vince McMahon's, you know, all of his corporate handpicked stooges and all of these people, The Rock and Ken Shamrock and The Big Show, and all these people he had to fight off, the corporation, to win the championship back, because that's a story as old as time in wrestling. The babyface fighting from underneath, trying to come back, trying to win back his championship. Where's the harm in that? Like, people forgot how wrestling works because they've been so blinded by all of these illustrious, lengthy, long title runs that the more you do, the more fucking boring they are. We had Logan Paul as the United States champion. How long was he United States champion for? Fucking 9 months? 2 matches in 9 months? That's exciting to people. Oh, but the publicity that he got the company, I don't give a fuck. I don't work for WWE. The fuck do I care? Oh, but he had the belt with him on his podcast. Who fucking cares? I don't care. Why should you care? I watched the shows. He wasn't there. He wasn't defending the title. He wasn't wrestling. It was fucking boring. We've had absentee champions. We had Brock Lesnar. He would show up and win titles and disappear for 6 months at a time. And I just think people, some of these fans, they just got themselves into this mindset that this is the norm. This is the way it is. No, it's not. That's not the way it should be. And you have to stop thinking like that. There has to be a happy medium. I don't want these titles to be changing hands every other week or defended on television every fucking week. But I also think that, you know, you want to shake things up a little bit and make things more fun. Make things a little less predictable. Keep people on their toes. Keep them tuned in to want to see Cody win the belt back. That's episodic. Episodic television, that's what it's all about. The beloved Attitude Era that people romanticize and they talk so fondly about. It's like, have you people forgotten what that Attitude Era looked like? Right? A lot of it was shit. A lot of it was great. But when Austin would get screwed, when Rock would get screwed, they'd have to fight to get the belt back. And you would want to tune in to see how are they going to do it. If Kevin Owens wins that championship tomorrow night, and smashes the winged eagle into little itty bitty pieces. How is Cody Rhodes going to come back from this? How is he going to fight to get back his championship? Where does Randy Orton fit into all this? Because, you know, he's going to want that title too. He's going to want Kevin Owens even more than Cody will. Leave people asking questions and wanting to tune into the show the following week. That's how wrestling works. Every now and then, I feel like I have to smarten people up who either forgot or they just don't understand. They just don't get it. They only have concepts of the way things have been done for the last 10 years and everything before that. It's like, doesn't even exist. I'll be here tomorrow night when the show is over. 8 to 10, I'll be here live probably about 10:30-ish. We'll go live here on YouTube and we will talk. We will talk about Saturday night's main event, which I am looking forward to. Every now and then, you gotta give a little history lesson. People forget, so you gotta remind them. Oh. Ricky says, Cody is so boring as champion. Well, I'm sorry, Ricky. There are a lot of fans out there who want Cody to be champion for 2 more years. They want Cody to be champion for so long that the fans turn on him. So all the people who said he was boring when he first won the title will feel validated and will say, see, I told you so. Hey, Jerome, thank you for the super chat. It's been a quiet night, so we're going to probably zip through these quickly. And looks like no Be the Booker either. It's just a dead night, but we're going to get through your messages here, and then we'll get on out. Let's start with Base Beerus. It says, Friday the 13th. That's all he says, Friday the 13th. He's telling me the date. Yes, tomorrow is Saturday the 14th. Thank you, Base Beerus. The Real CS, if and when Jordynne Grace signs with WWE, do you think they will allow her to make special appearances for TNA? Maybe not to wrestle, but still. I don't know why they would. Not if she goes to the main roster, which I think is exactly where she should go. There's no need for her to go back to NXT. She's already had her NXT run. Why are you going to send her back to NXT for? Have there been any main roster talents that WWE has allowed to go back and make an appearance in TNA? AJ Styles was backstage tonight at their Final Resolution show. I don't think he was on camera, but he was there visiting. I think that's about as close as you're going to get. Holiday197 says, hey Solo, The Rock, if The Rock, is unavailable for WrestleMania. What are your thoughts on Cody defending the WWE title against Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins in a fatal four-way at WrestleMania? All of them have intertwined stories, and Punk would get his WrestleMania main event. I don't like it. I wouldn't do it. Generally, I'm not a fan of the multi-man matches at WrestleMania. Triple threat with the right people, it's fine with me. Fatal four-way, I'm not really a fan. And you've got two nights. You've got two main events. I don't know why you would even do a four-way. Why not break it up into two main events? That's how I look at it. I mean, they're all intertwined in some way, but I feel like you want to break them up. You can get a couple of different matches out of it. I'd always much rather have a good, solid one-on-one story and one-on-one program than a multi-man match, especially in the main event of WrestleMania. Michael Cuomo, I'm going to Saturday night's main event tomorrow. I will be sitting middle row by the entranceway. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm curious what the entranceway is going to look like because they're not using the usual setup. They're going old school with it. But Michael, have fun. The Mount Vernon kid, Christopher Bennett, sorry could not be there live. My brother Hulkling93 and I are celebrating our father's 65th birthday. Well, happy birthday to Mr. Bennett. Tessa back in TNA, will you talk about it? I will talk about that on Sunday, yes. She made her return to TNA tonight. attacked Jordan Grace. Jerome Eugenio says it was Friday the 13th for Carmelo Hayes. It sure was. Base Bears, will you be the Grinch for the Christmas stream? I'm the Grinch on every stream. Why should it just be the Christmas stream? Yeah, I guess we are. We are doing a stream on Christmas, aren't we? Because that's a Wednesday. So Dynamite that night is a taped show because the Sunday before, they're taping Dynamite at the Hammerstein Ballroom. So it should be a fun atmosphere. But yeah, I guess that's going to be the Christmas stream. I hope you guys are going to join me for that. I don't want to be lonely on Christmas night. Alex with the 25. I personally cannot wait till tomorrow's show. Haven't been this excited for a show since this year's WrestleMania. It's also an incredible feeling when you know Solo's business is about to boom. It's definitely not booming tonight. Hopefully everyone's waiting for tomorrow. I don't know where everybody is. Although we had over 1,000 people in here 2 minutes ago. Alex, thank you. The Juliet says Tessa Blanchard returned and attacked Jordan Grace. Also, Dark Side of the Ring returns on Vice. Yes, I'm going to talk about all that on Sunday. Super Pony, any chance Kevin Owens had is out the window. Okay, I read that completely wrong. Any chance Kevin Owens had is out the window after tonight. Look, I'm predicting a Cody win, so I'm with you, but I don't rule him out completely. Project Libertad, thank you very much for the five. Who would you rather watch your back? Andrade and Apollo Crews or Mark Briscoe, the Dark Order, and all those other geeks that had Orange Cassidy's back? If you made me choose, I'll just take Mark Briscoe. He's crazy. He'll do some of that redneck kung fu. You could take the Dark Order. I'll take Mark Briscoe. Take my chances with him. Dan Richards, why care about the major title matches if they only change at WrestleMania? We need changes on other shows sometimes. Yeah, and I can't think of a better one than live on NBC. This is what people don't understand. You're going to have a big audience, not only tomorrow, but on Netflix too. It's going to be a huge show. Dan Richards, thank you again. Tonga Loa Superfan. Oh my God, he's back. He's back. Attitude Era and Ruthless Aggression Era were great, but hands down my favorite has to be the Tonga Loa Era. Rest in peace, Tonga Loa Era 2024 to 2024. Yeah, the brother is having a very difficult time with this injury. We all need to keep Tonga Loa Superfan in your thoughts this weekend. Prince Vegeta says, out of the four WrestleMania decade winners, Cody has held the title longer than Bret, Benoit, and Bryan. I am in favor of adding KO to the WWE title lineage. It's been 8 years since this man was any sort of world champion. He won the Universal title he wasn't even supposed to win. I think now is as good a time as any to give this man even just a brief WWE title run. I think he's doing great work right now. George freaking Sekman. What if Cody and Gunther both lose and change brands and have to chase new titles? Well, with the transfer window, it's possible, but one title change is probably pushing it as far as like what they may do tomorrow. Two of them, And when I say two, I mean both men's world titles. It seems very unlikely. Base Bear is, do you remember Wrestling Gone Wrong website? Yes, vaguely. I used to see video clips. There used to be like message board forums that would post clips many, many, many years ago. Dylan, did you see the 28 Years Later trailer? It's such good shit. I never saw 28 Days Later. I should probably fix that. But no, I didn't see the trailer yet. Base Beer says Chelsea Green has big psycho eyes. Very attractive. Apparently Base Beer has a type. Be careful. Plus Ultra Adrian, hope you are having a good night, Solo. Thank you, Adrian. I appreciate that. I hope you are as well. Juan Ocampo, spit facts, Solo, but you are still a punk hater. Boo. That's right. Boo. Hiss. Deal with it. Tonga Loa superfan, what was your favorite moment of the Tonga Loa era? When it ended. Bryant Finley, I like how you check JD on TNT. The way he gets so angry about wrestling isn't healthy. Dude needs to take a chill pill. Well, you know, hey, someone's got to be there to be but someone has to be there to good cop, bad cop. So, I guess I'm the good cop. I appreciate it, though. Thank you. Jeremy Rose, what's more likely, Tiffany's cash in or Cody? I thought you said Tiffany cashes in on Cody. Now, that would be something. If Tiffany Stratton cashed in on Cody Rhodes, that would be something. Now, she says, he says, I just changed Jeremy's entire gender. What's more likely, Tiffany cashes in or Cody or Gunther losing the title tomorrow? Cody or Gunther losing the title is more likely than a Tiffany cashing. Tiffany, I believe, is cashing in on Nia. Nia is not on the show, therefore there will be no cashing. You can save that for Netflix. Oz and Glorious, it's been years. Way past time to bring back the call-in. Thanks for keeping me entertained reviewing the Fed while I work. Thank you, Oz. We may make that a super chat goal one of these days. We'll see. I wouldn't do it weekly. That's not happening, but every now and then, I still got the number. So we may have to do that. And Manuel Macias, what's your guess for the WWE title match at WrestleMania? Or is it still too soon to guess? Maybe after the first Netflix show, we will have an idea. Yeah, I mean, we have to get past tomorrow and we have to get past January 6th. You know, if you ask me right now, what do I think it is? I would say Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton, especially if Rock is not wrestling on the show, but it's still too early to know for sure. Richie says Mount Rushmore of Ruthless Aggression stars. I hate Mount Rushmore questions, but when I think of the Ruthless Aggression era, of course I think about John Cena. So you got to have Cena on there. I think of Brock Lesnar. Brock would be number one. But I think of Brock. I think of Cena. I think of Eddie. And if I had to pick one more. It's either Orton or Batista. I would go Brock, Cena, Eddie, and Batista. That probably would be my four. And Jeremy with the 15. Rewatch the breakup of the Mega Powers. Gotta say, Hogan was a complete goofball. Left his partner high and dry to carry his partner's wife, back to the locker room and then stayed there and damn near cried. Macho was right. What do you mean damn near cried? He basically was. He was like, oh God, please. Like, he thought, like, she's not fucking dying. Holding her hand. She took a bump. Please. Those eyes. Macho was right. Those eyes. They had lust for Elizabeth. I mean, I can't blame the guy. We all had lust for Elizabeth. She's a beautiful woman. Slim Yoshi. I was sad when KO lost the title to Goldberg 8 years ago. I hope he wins tomorrow, even if it ends up being a one-month reign. He's earned it. I'd like to see it too. It's one of his great regrets that he won the championship and then right after that he never took the time, he said, to enjoy it. And he was just so focused on... And it's funny too, because I remember Eddie Guerrero said the same thing after he won the title. He just became a basket case. It was all about, okay, what are we doing? Where are we going? Who are we working with? How's the gate? How the ratings? How's business? How many tickets are we selling? And it wasn't great. And so he blamed himself and he put a lot of pressure on himself. And, you know, with Owens, to hear him talk about it, it was just a case of he was so wrapped up in, like, what are we doing? Who am I working with? What's the plan for tonight? He just didn't take the time to really enjoy it. But he was also playing second fiddle. You know, he never, when he was Universal Champion, he never felt like the guy. He was never the guy. And then he got beat by Goldberg, and that was it. And he hasn't had a championship at that level since. It's pathetic. Anyway, thank you, Slim Yoshi. I appreciate that very much. Let's see if we made it to our goal for tonight. The likes goal has been achieved. So thank you. And those of you who did drop Super Chats tonight, I know it was a quiet night, but seriously, thank you. I appreciate you guys. You guys, I appreciate very much. All right, let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Here we go. You guys got in there right under the bell. So let's do it. A little Saturday night's main event pre-gaming going on here with Be the Booker. Some updates have been made, by the way. I won't tell you what they are, but there have been some Be the Booker upgrades made. We begin here with Randy Orton and Edge. Rated RKO. Former Raw Tag Team Champions. I just talked about the Ruthless Aggression era. You could also put Edge on that list. Randy Orton and Edge against Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. The Shield. Look at those titles. Look at those belts. You know, you got Cody walking out there tomorrow with the Winged Eagle. There's just something about those old school championships, man. And I'm not talking about those crap looking belts they had in the 70s. They look like shit. I take shits bigger than some of those belts. Look at these tag team titles over here. Those are still the best tag team titles they ever had. Be a great match, though. Randy Orton and Edge against Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. That right there, my friends, is a definite bell. For sure. Women's Be the Booker. Here we go. Round two. Well, we go from those great tag team titles to the butterfly belt. One of the ugliest belts I've ever seen. Around the waist of one Michelle McCool. Remember those old Michelle McCool vignettes when she first debuted? She's loving life. They would show her just doing various activities. I think she was roller skating or rollerblading in one. Michelle McCool is loving life. Michelle McCool going to go one-on-one with Ms. Money in the Bank, Tiffany Stratton. We will give that the bell. People got very upset last time we had Michelle McCool, and I gave it the buzzer. I don't remember who the opponent was, but it just wasn't a very good match. Tiffany Stratton and Michelle McCool. You never know what kind of chemistry two people are going to have. But I give that the bell. Now we come to the main event. Can we do it? Can we do it? Can we pull out the sweep? We begin with broken Matt Hardy from another dimension. Remember when Broken Matt first got that gimmick over in TNA? It was like the best thing in wrestling. It was very creative, very innovative for its time. And then he brought it to WWE, and they just didn't get it. Vince didn't get it. Vince just didn't get it. They shit all over it. It went to hell. And it was never the same. Broken Matt. Yeah, Woken Matt. Broken Matt is going to take on Dax Harwood of FTR. I'm torn. As a main event, I'm torn here. Yes, FTR bald. Yes. FTR bald. What are we thinking here? I'm seeing no bell. It's the main event. It's supposed to be the main event. Would you buy a ticket to see this match come to your town in the main event? That is the question. I'm leaving it up to you. Woken Matt against FTR bald. What are we thinking here? It's very indecisive on this one. I was very indecisive on that one. Well, it was not to be. It was not to be. Hey, there's Base Beerus coming in with a $7. Super chat. Yeah, Kevin said, you said main event. That ended it. Well, you know, you got to hold your main events to a higher standard. That's the whole thing. It'd be one thing if it was the opener. Base Beerus, who is someone that you really got behind but never got a decent push that left you frustrated as a fan? For me, it was Dolph around 2018. For me, it was Dolph around 2014 when I thought they were finally going to take advantage at the end of the year there, and they didn't do it. On a lesser scale, I think of somebody like Tyler Breeze, because I really dug that gimmick in NXT, and I thought that he could, I'm not saying world champion, but I could have seen him as an intercontinental champion easily on the main roster, and they just didn't see him as anything special, and they did nothing with him. Then he ended up in a comedy team with Fandango. So that to me was very frustrating. I mean, there's so many examples of this from over the years. Those are two that jump out at me, but you could find so many people who just, you know, wasted potential and bad creative. It's sad, and you wonder how many careers were ruined by that sort of thing, or politics. Somebody bumped into another wrestler in the back and didn't shake their hand or something. That could be the end of your career. I mean, that's how crazy these people are. Richie said, why didn't Eddie want the title? He probably just thought he didn't deserve it. I mean, from everything I had heard, and I don't remember what he said in his book, but again, he put a lot of pressure on himself. And the company wanted to push JBL and try something different. And he was friends with JBL. And he, you know, he was all in on doing everything he could to try to get JBL over. And he tried. You know, he put in as much effort as he could to try to make that happen. So Boots. What's going on, Boots? Thank you for the five. Can we get a Mr. Brody Lee smarten the F up super chat to encourage and motivate the dummies to smarten the F up? I don't know. I'll think about it. Maybe I'll just clip me. And that'll be the new super chat. It's probably the easiest way to go and the safest way to go. Base Beerus, I remember the Rumble in 2018. Dolph had just won and relinquished the U.S. belt, then returned as number 30 with the record scratch. I was sure that he was winning. Well, they only wanted you to think that he was winning. See, your problem is you put too much faith in the prior administration. After a while, many of us learned not to do that anymore, so we were disappointed when the inevitable happened. Devin from New Jersey, what would have been the best way to end WrestleMania 17? Austin winning clean, doing the same finish but have Vince get stunned, or having the WCW guys in the skybox interfere and wreak havoc to end the show? The last idea, you can't do the last idea. Because the last idea, think about who was in the skybox. I think people like Billy Kidman and Lance Storm, like Sean Stasiak, right? Lance Storm, great wrestler. There were no major stars up there. All the major stars weren't there. So you can't have Lance Storm and fucking Meat, okay, run in at the end of WrestleMania to attack Stone Cold and The Rock, because you'd be run out of town if you tried to book that. The way to do it would have been to have Austin win clean. Came back from neck surgery. He was the comeback kid. He's trying to win the championship back, coming off this major career-threatening injury. You're in Texas. That's what you do. You have Austin win clean. After a great classic main event, you have Austin go over clean. That's it. Retro KOH gifted 9 channel memberships, so welcome to our 9 new members, and thank you to Retro for doing that. I very much appreciate that. Juan Ocampo, just bought my first row ticket to Boo You at House of Glory in Chicago. Well, the joke's on you. I don't know if I'll be in Chicago. But I'm glad you're going to be at the show. Whether I'm there or not, you're going to have fun. We got Ricky Starks wrestling Mike Santana on that show, and more to come, more to be announced. And Jeremy Rose, hate to say it, LA Knight gives me Mr. Kennedy vibes. LA Knight has already been more successful than Mr. Kennedy was. What major championships did Mr. Kennedy win? I don't think he won any, right? He won Money in the Bank. That was about it. LA Knight has already surpassed him in terms of his success in WWE. Yeah, we actually have a House of Glory show coming up next Friday, which actually it's a great, I'm glad you brought that up, because I can mention that there will be no SmackDown review next week. I almost forgot to mention that. I will not be here next Friday because we have our final show of the year. And funny enough, we have the Hardy Boys coming in. They're going to be wrestling on the show. So I don't know if it'll be Broken Matt or just regular Matt, but Matt and Jeff will be there. And we got Matt Riddle's coming in. We got Zilla Fatu is going to be defending his championship on that show. Got a lot of cool stuff planned. Megan Bain will be there defending her title. So that is where I will be. I will be there next Friday. So just keep that in mind. No SmackDown recap on YouTube next Friday. Base Beer says, do you ever eat, or did you ever eat, at WWF New York? Yes, not only did I eat there, I went there multiple times, and I even have my WWF New York mug, which I have shown off on one of the streams, I don't know how many years ago. I think it was like 3 years ago. I still have my WWF New York mug, just to prove to people one day, they don't believe me that this place existed, I could say it did, and I have the mug to prove it. Was Magnum TA world champion? No, he was a United States champion. And he might have been television champion, I don't know. But no, he would have absolutely been the NWA world champion had he not had his car accident. Solo has a big hog situation to deal with. Hey. I got a big hog situation to deal with every month. I could think of worse problems to have. LA Knight is a former TNA World Heavyweight and Tag Team Champion. Did Mr. Kennedy win a champ? Did he not win the TNA World title at some point? I don't remember. Honestly, the biggest thing that he ever did for, I'm sorry, like in TNA, when I think of Mr. Kennedy, the first thing I will always and forever think of is his reaction when Tito Ortiz walked out. Hands on his head, like that right there is what I think of when I think of Ken Kennedy in TNA. To me, that defines his entire run, Mr. Anderson. The Learning Sicko, Dr. Bropio. Is Tessa's return to TNA a certified LOL TNA moment or just a head-scratching, baffling moment? It is an LOL TNA moment for sure when they intentionally went out of their way to hide it from the other people that work there because they were worried about the backlash. When you have to go out of your way to intentionally not tell people who work in the company that you're bringing somebody in to work in said company, that's an LOL TNA moment. Mr. Anderson spoke for all of us when Tito showed up. Yeah, to say the least. And Boots. Did you try the WWF Eau de Toilette? Are you asking me if I used the John at WWF New York? I'm sure I did. I have no memory of it. It wasn't some kind of life-changing experience. So, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Isn't never work the boys a rule for the bookers? Sure. But there's no rule against working the girls. That was their loophole. Oh, the cologne. They had cologne? I thought you were asking me if I used the bathroom there. You said, did you try the WWF Eau de Toilette? I thought you were just being smart and you were asking me if I used the fucking bathroom while I was there. I was like, no, I'm sure I did, but what the fuck am I supposed to say to that? How am I supposed to answer that question? Oh, it's cologne. No, I didn't use the cologne. I have my own cologne. I use Dolce & Gabbana. The fuck am I going to use WWF cologne for? I can only imagine how if it's smell. I'm the light. Shut the fuck up. Fuck that tree. Last thing I want to do is smell like most wrestling fans. Luis. Coming in with a learning tree. $12 super chat. Says, I almost forgot. Thank you, NBC, for airing Saturday night's main event at 5 o'clock p.m. for all of us West Coasters. Yes. It is airing live all across the country, I think, for the first time in the history of Saturday night's main event. I believe that's the first time that's happening. Yeah, I forgot WCW had that Nitro cologne. I never tried that either. Base Beer says, Home Alone was voted best Christmas movie. Well, that's impossible. That's the second best Christmas movie. Second only to Die Hard. AJ Files added more rivalries to my website. Can I email you? Sure. Can always email me. WWE cologne had real bits of sweaty ring mat in it. I have a plaque from WrestleMania 12 that has a piece of the ring mat. Actual piece of the ring mat from the Iron Man match that night. And it's got this long strand of hair. I don't know if it belongs to Bret Hart or if it belongs to Shawn Michaels. Although I guess it could belong to Kevin Nash. It could belong to The Undertaker. It could belong to any of them, I guess. Maybe I'll have it DNA tested. 23andMe. What do you think? Oz and Glorious. Tessa fits in with the country's current zeitgeist. Tessa is facing Jordan Grace, apparently, in a short program that Jordan did not want to work. But Jordan Grace is on her way out. So she'll be a team player, do what she's told, because she's pretty much mostly out the door anyway. I mean, I've been calling her basically the unsigned WWE superstar now for months. So she'll lose to Tessa, and then she'll be in the Fed, as Oz would say. She'll be going to the Fed. Arrogance is the best cologne. See, Snow Dog has the right idea. Arrogance was the best. Rick Martel was a man of class. Now, yeah, see, imagine if Rick Martel, man, he was ahead of his time with that, because if he had the current WWE marketing machine behind that gimmick, they would be selling those bottles. Or the, what do they call those things? The atomizer that he used to carry around with him. They'd be selling little, like, mock versions of those atomizers. Probably for $20 a pop. And he would get his sweet cut probably of 5%. Whatever it is the talent gets. I'm sure it's not great. Yes, yeah, Saturday night's main event is on free TV and it's simulcasting on Peacock. I think I'll watch it on Peacock. But you're probably going to have the same commercials either way, so it doesn't matter. But you can stream it on Peacock if you want. It's just like Dynamite, starting January 1st. You can watch it on TBS or you could stream it on Max. Either way. What do I think is Chris Jericho's best gimmick? Conspiracy theory victim Jericho. From WCW in 1998. That's probably my favorite version. Thank you guys for all the love tonight. I appreciate it. The next time I am with you will be tomorrow night. And we are going to be talking Saturday night's main event. I had some fun putting together the thumbnail for this one. There it is. And I will have the full review. Could that be the scene tomorrow? Look at Kevin Owens. Look what he's got over his shoulder. He's got the winged eagle. Is that what we're going to see tomorrow? It could happen. You can catch the full review as soon as the show is over. Be well. Stay safe. Let's do it again on Saturday. Until then, take care, guys. Have a good night.